get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Zoe Avery.
Everybody, this is Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirits Work.
And this is Mick Avery. Hi.
So we're not going to bother with any fuss with the intro because
no, we just ripped all that up, didn't we?
We're behind already with technical problems, so no problem. Anyway, we're going to go on to this week's show, which is Gregory's Journey. Actually, it's part 16 in Spirit Rod, and this should actually be the last one. And we're actually bringing it up to date. If you'd like to say hello, Mick.
Oh, hello, Mick.
Very good.
Is that it?
Okay, well, that's Mick, and he's going to go off into trance now, and he's going to get Gregory so that Gregory can talk some sense to us. And, yeah, so we're going to be bringing it up to date this week, and we're going to be talking about, actually, what Gregory does now, you know? I mean, what listeners might not realise is that each week we have meetings about what we're going to be doing this week, Gregory and I, and obviously through Mick's deep trance. And we discuss all sorts of things. If I've got an Akashic reading coming up or anything like that, then I have to give him the dates of birth and the names and that sort of thing. And we talk about that when we're going to be doing it. All sorts of things, because we do so many more things than just radio. We actually look for missing children as well, and so I have a daily update some days on certain children that are lost, and we talk about that and what we can do about that. I think the hardest thing is probably getting the police to believe us or anybody else, but there you go. We do it anyway for the sake of the child. We do all sorts of things. We do healing. We do many things to do with other mediums in England and in America. We're constantly doing something. We're writing books. You name it, we're doing it. So obviously we have to have meetings to discuss what we're doing, like any other business would do, partners in business. So we thought it might be interesting. In fact, I'm going to find it interesting too, is to find out what actually goes on behind the scenes when we have these meetings. I mean, I have a rough idea, but obviously I don't know in explicit detail. And, you know, what actually happens? Who is there? What do they do? What does each individual person do? People must get allocated jobs. And, you know, when we talk about our Akashic readings and that sort of thing, Gregory has to go and fetch the Akashic records, which obviously he will explain to you all about that when he comes. You know, how does he do that? Who did he have to see? Where did he go? So all of these things we're going to be finding out about. And if you do have a question relating to our subject today that you want to ask Gregory, it's not a reading, it's actually what we're talking about. If you're interested in finding out something, maybe I have not asked the question that you're interested in knowing. The number is a free phone number. It's 877-876-5227 in the US. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's here now.
With love and light and peace be on you and your journey, dear friend.
Thank you, Gregory.
Hello.
Hello. So, you heard my preamble.
Yes.
So, basically, I mean, we can start with our general meeting or the Akashic records, or if you'd like to start somewhere on that would be absolutely fascinating anyway. So.
Yes, very well then, my dear friend. Well, let's take a general look at it. When we are brought together to have a general meeting, that is, to discuss the day's events or perhaps incoming situations that have been brought to your attention and subsequently to our attention. This is a situation which very often we already have a certain investigative knowledge over certain various incidents which you may wish of us to have an opinion over, or that you would like of our judgment, or perhaps it may be something very specific to do with an illness of some human being or an animal illness. Perhaps it is to do with various traits that are happening in relationship situations, different kinds of things like that. And of course, actually what happens, so first of all we're going to look at, shall we say, the treatment of a human being. What generally happens is that at the time that you actually receive either an order or a request in some way from communication through somebody else that is requiring it from you, we will actually immediately go look at that person or that situation that has been brought about. We understand that this is not necessarily something that we will preempt or whatever. We don't spend every minute of the day hanging on your every word or whatever it is. And though Spirit Team does, in fact, and this is actually another one of those little misconceptions that human beings tend to have. This is actually because of the fact that when we are observing situations of yourselves, we actually tend to do those when you send the request out. It's not to say that we are unaware of other people who may request our knowledge and advancement of their condition or whatever. Perhaps, for example, friends of yours, actual physical friends of yours, who know of your work with us and who then may try to make contact with us themselves. It's not to say that we would not listen to that contact either. But really, to say though that we become, in a sense, aware of it, at times, for example, to do with specific friends or family or whatever, we will try to interact with you and bring up the topic of conversation within the actual communication between us. However, usually it is at the behest of yourself and your own physical interaction, quite simply because we have so much other things that we have to contemplate, that we have to perhaps bring our energy to bear upon, for example, perhaps certain peoples who have passed in some specific accident or who have passed just because it was their time to pass. And we have had to come about and deal with that situation. So we cannot be at your beck and call as and when you require it, unless it is at specific times which you actually send thoughts out or that we prearrange in a previous day or something like that.
Well, presumably, though, our doorkeepers will let you know if there's something important because they know what's going on the whole time.
Oh, absolutely sure. Yes, of course, there is that as well. I'm just trying to think of, in fact, all eventualities, really, and there are a great many of them. So, and it wouldn't necessarily be just a doorkeeper. It would also be other spirit helpers, various guides or whatever.
Mm.
And, of course, remembering as well that one of the, I suppose, the significant guides also to do with the group is Mr. Sanika, who is to do with healing in general. And this means to say then that he will actually come, and because your communication with him is quite exemplary and continuous in many respects. So we are usually aware of the things that you you have requested him to do via the group, really. And so he will already be studying it or whatever, studying the problem that may be emitted either by a human being or an animal that you may have come into contact with. Similarly, as well, of course, we have to say that perhaps it is that you have come upon someone who has requested your healing. Perhaps it's remotely or something like that. Perhaps they may be on some other part of the planet. What we will then do is, generally, once that request is made, we will go and look at that person and focus our attention on that state of mind, state of physical awareness or whatever, see what's actually happening in the physical life, particularly, of course, if the situation, the request is quite intricate, I suppose, and that they've actually given us their dates of birth and that kind of thing via yourselves, of course. If that is an actual formal request, then we are able, of course, to look in that person's Akashic book and then see, to try to verify what exactly disease or what malnutrition or what balance of disharmony or perhaps food, nutrition intake or something like that, that has been brought about in that person's life, what ailment they have suffered, that kind of thing. And then we can actually make a correct response from that. And perhaps also, in that respect, then be able to help to bring about a healing sense for that person as well. Sometimes, of course, it doesn't necessarily mean to say, because of the fact that they've requested healing, that they will be healed in the general sense, that they will be well again. Some people, of course, because of living a physical life, will be actually be subject to the conditions of physical life. All human physical beings will have to pass through the spirit world eventually. So it will be that some diseases, some situations which happen to that physical being will actually create that passing. We will always, of course, try our utmost to make that situation as pain-free as possible and also to help the spirit of that person to transcend that physical journey state, the very physicalness of it, of actually having to pass to our side of life. For some people, of course, can be quite a struggle, and so we will always try to be able to wish to avert such things. So does that mean to say then that human beings, without this intervention of eating from ourselves, are somehow trapped, entrapped in some form of endless pain, which is then not going to bring them actual relief until they do pass? I'm not suggesting that for one moment. However, I am suggesting that for some people, they can actually gain great relief from our intervention at times. We cannot be our eyes and ears everywhere, knowing when every single being upon the planet's surface is going to pass.
Okay, well, that's the healing aspect of it. What about the other things that we talk about?
Well, in a sense, it's just a part of it. Move then from that, as I said, for example, then you may have some person who makes contact with you, and perhaps by email, and that they make contact with you to request some healing. Perhaps it is to someone on the other side of the planet from where you are presently residing. What we would then do is, once they have given their birth date and full birth name as of their birth certificate, why the reason is that this is significant is because it allows us to trace the pathway and journey back to before they were born, so that we are then able to trace the exact moment of conception. That allows us to trace the exact spirit and where they have come from.
And that goes with every time we give you a date of birth and
yes.
a name at birth.
Yes.
Yes, but how can you do that? Even saying that, how can you do that?
Well, because we know the time which has been played out because the spirit of that person is able to tell us. And the spirit of that person is also able to tell us the substance of their group, so that we will be able to understand within the timeline of the various different spirit beings who then became manifested and connected to physical matter in order to have a physical life. Don't forget, friends, that the manifestation of spirit in a physical form actually takes place at the point of inception, when male and female cells join. The light that you see under a microscope at that physical joining is not just the chemical interaction that you observe of that joining, but is actually the thread, the silver cord, the etheric beat of the spirit joining with that physical state.
Okay.
Then what we are able to do is to trace back which spirit and from what quadrant of the spirit world that identity came from.
Okay. So you're able to converse with the spirit of a person who is having a physical life without that physical person
knowing. That is true.
And does this person have to be asleep, or can they be awake?
No.
Can they be actually actively doing something, like I'm doing something now,
yes, of
and
course.
You can converse with my spirit?
Yes.
That's funky.
My dear,
that is
funky
really
friend.
I'm sorry.
What's
I'm
that,
sorry.
Friend?
I mean,
I
how many...
thought that was the kind of music that you had.
You see, I'm quite
well versed.
You are. You are very
well versed. Matters of the physical world.
In all of the years that we've been doing this,
yes.
I don't think I've heard you say anything like that before. That's quite incredible, really. I mean, understand that you can do that, obviously, when people are sleeping or in meditation or in an altered vibration somehow, but to be able to do it when somebody's actually active.
Yes, but let's just track back a moment to what you have just said there.
Mm-hmm.
Do not misplace that when you as a physical being are in communication with your spirit, that it then means it's a time that when we can be in communication with your spirit. Don't forget then that your spirit always remains in the ether world.
Well, yes, I know, but I didn't know if it was only when you were in meditation or something like that, that, or in contemplation, that you were that accessible to you as well, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no.
You don't have to be that. So,
no.
But I've heard you say before, though, that if we're engulfed in negativity and in you know, really...
Then you're more difficult to read.
Then it is more difficult to read.
Oh, absolutely so. I don't disagree with that premise.
Okay.
That's a fact.
So this brings up all sorts of things. So,
yes.
So are you saying...
Doesn't it ever, Ben?
I don't know if I like this. So basically, I could be telling you lies, and my spirit could be there saying, no, don't believe her.
Yes, absolutely. That's quite true, yes. It's a porky pie.
Hmm.
Is that right?
That's very good,
that's
yes.
Right
a lie, yes.
Yes, yes. I thought that was a colloquialism.
Yes. Okay, so this is interesting. Hmm, all right.
So the point is, though, that, you see, part of this is what gives us the permission. That's the point.
The date of birth.
Exactly. The date of birth, the name at birth,
mm.
are the permission of sequences that we that's not saying that we cannot communicate with your spirit unless we have these, but that the intricacies of your own personal book of life would not be revealed to us unless we were actually able to have those conditions, those permissions.
This means that you could tell somebody, if somebody wasn't sure about who their real father was or mother or whatever, you would have that access then, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, I suppose it would be, that would be the case. I hadn't really thought of that in that respect. It's really not necessarily about the physical stuff.
No, I know.
That's the point. We're not really talking here about the physical stuff. What we're really talking about is the measure of communication spirit to spirit. And what we are of prime reason to create here in the situation of finding someone's Akashic book, particularly, shall we say, if they are in need of certain forms of restorative healing or something like that, then what we're actually doing is communicating with the spirit through the name at birth, date of birth, to find the spirit pathway back to their soul group so that we can actually open. It gives us also the key to open that spirit Akashic book.
Which is
the full book of their life, from the time at which they as an individual separated and moved away from that which is God, which you aspire God to be. You could call this energy I, or is.
Creator. I like creator.
Yes.
Mm.
In the true native way.
Mm.
So in this respect, you see, you are having a situation where you are allowing us to observe the book, to open it. It's your private issue. It's your beautiful spirit, private situation of the entire lifetime journey of that spirit throughout millennia, millions and billions of years. That's not to say that it is the age of the soul. That's a misconception and a misnomer of the parity between spirit and soul. Soul is the intention and the gathering of emotion, that which allows you to become a compassionate being or a cold-hearted one. So where you are looking at different respects of physicality and behavior, you are observing conditions of the soul, not those conditions of previous or past soul work within previous lives, as that, in fact, does not have a bearing upon this life, as much as many people would like to tell you that it does. Because the information coming through from the life that you have led up to the point of your now present physical life is not necessarily to be an issue of this physical life. I know that with some people they will tell you they have had many thousands of past lives, and that those are bringing in the condition of the soul to their enlightenment. That's why they'll tell you that they've become an enlightened being at this time round. How nice and convenient, then. Naturally, if they tell you such a thing, they obviously would not be enlightened, just because of the fact that they have told you that they are. Negates the point. I digress. The situation, then, of when we are communicating with spirit becomes that we are actually communicating really to do with the conditions of the, not just the spirit before having a physical life. But in this situation that we were just describing, which is actually to do with perhaps a person's physicality, the situation of their interpretation of health or whatever, we can look throughout the DNA, throughout the cell structure of that individual person to see how different elements of their physicality were formed, their strengths and weaknesses, perhaps to do with their certain vital organs or something like that. Inherent within one life would be whether a person is actually going to eventually maybe pass with a specific weakness or not, which was inherent in the genetic makeup and marker. It may be alternatively that that was never the case, and that perhaps it was actually through some physicality that that person actually met some shocking disease or whatever, or perhaps they had an aneurysm or something like that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
These can all come about through stresses, distress of life, and that kind of thing. It may be alternatively that what we're actually dealing with here is to do with a horse or some other animal, cat or dog, some other being in fur.
And you communicate with the spirit of those people, fur people, or
yes, absolutely,
scale people as well, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, of course, yes. And so that will also bring about the issue of physicality, what has actually befallen them in their physical conscious life, and how they've actually interacted, what itches they're feeling, or what situation of their skin condition, or situations hopefully to do with the mineralization, the way in which they're interacting with their earth planet journey, and how that physicality is becoming made available, perhaps as conscious thought to their spirit. Whether it's conscious thought or whether it's actual physicality, it will still be laid upon the spirit at the time and issue that it occurred. So it means to say that all situations can be revealed eventually. It may take a little while, though, for Mr. Sinica and others to be able to actually dissect the journey in that respect. Some pages are actually quite difficult to reach because they are so complex in their nature.
Absolutely. I mean, it must be difficult in the book of life, of eternal life of somebody, to actually specifically find a day a day in the life of that person.
Absolutely.
An individual day or
well,
moment.
Yes, quite simply because actually when we are containing the book itself, we are aware that there are many other pages who actually want us to read them too. And so it's actually quite difficult to have a book which is expressing the rules of engagement in that respect, just really because they're so pleased that someone's actually come to look at it.
So does anybody else help you do this with the Akashic Records? Do you have anybody else go with you to help you look through it, to, I don't know, control it? Who do you see? Where do you go?
Well, then, let us take this issue of where and when. The point is that what we do is we actually use the location, first of all. So we locate the book in the communication with spirit. In this respect, it then means to say that we have ascertained our right. Naturally, we would say that the Akashic Book is not permissible to engage with somebody else without having that right, without obtaining that right first.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the permission that the personal being has to give
mm-hmm.
of that state, regardless of whether this is an issue to do with negative traits or something like that, because you may well say, well, surely God wouldn't allow these negative things to happen if God in fact existed at all. So how is it that God allows negative things to exist? It's quite simple. It's not an arbitrary fact that God is, in a sense, playing an arbiter between good and evil. It's a point of reference that physical beings, when they're in physical life, tend to create create negative situations about their life through ignorance, lack of care, through awareness of negativity, or their own desire of anger. So, my dear friend, what we have then is then, shall we say then, that we bring, what generally tends to happen is that if it's to do with a person still living in physical life, we then tend to actually bring the book, we request their book to be with us, so that at times, this is only at certain times.
And who's that?
Well, to be with us, the group. With us, the group, the thousands of beings who are here at this time, but in particular, the various scientists and scholars who are actually utilizing the mechanism of which there are some 26 scientists altogether who are bringing about this and helping with this structure of mechanism to keep it stable.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for this is because it's an interactivity, a constant interactivity that we have to keep open in order also that various strands of this energy, coming from your good self, of course, as well, to keep it balanced and harmonic, means to say then that we are using the situation to keep the energy balanced, so that we can actually then bring about, shall we say, it's because that we have to dialogue with you
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have to have the book open. It's not just a case of us going to that person's halls of learning or wherever they are located in the spirit world and just read passages of their book and then come back and tell you. Although sometimes we do that too. It depends on what the issue is, whether we feel there is a dialogue to be engaged with it, as usually there is when we come back and report certain issues to do with any particular being, there will be, we know from past experience, there will always be added questions attached to this, certain caveats or whatever, that become available to you in your mind because you think as a physical being, not as we do, as spirit beings. That's not to say that we have become less and less au fait with the physical life since we have been in the spirit world, but rather to say that we are consciously aware of the other emotive issues and situations of compassion surrounding certain people's lives and their welfare that will be raised in your conscious mind, which may not be something that we actually think of at the time.
So what if somebody asks us to look for a missing child, say, for instance, or teenager or whatever, how do you go about doing that? Do we have a meeting? I give you their date of birth and their name.
Yes. However, it still will be an issue. I am well aware that the parents of such a child or loved ones would request such a thing. But there are also issues, actually, surrounding the child.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to try to seek that child's permission, too. Because it's the rights of the individual.
Okay.
So if we can meet with them in some way, we will.
Mm.
And we will try to bring about this permission. This is sometimes, I know, this actually may leave people feeling a bit cold about this situation, but actually it is still the rights of the individual, no matter how small they are.
So it's very difficult, isn't it, for us when we don't have the permission from the parents, but we are trying to do it because we want to help the child, say, for instance, in this instance, the child. That is difficult. Because we don't have permission by the child or the parent,
yes.
But we want to help. So if, for instance, so in that case, you've not necessarily been able to get the child's Akashic record, but how do you trace the child to find out whether they are in the spirit world or whether they are still on the earth plane?
Well, basically, we really try to trace the name origin. That's what we do. So we look at the various family trees to try to find the various origins to see how that they fit the energy that we're looking for. It's actually extremely difficult. Also, we perhaps, shall we say, if you have issues surrounding the last known place or something like that, then what we will try to do is to see if there is any residual effect that has been left in that place, perhaps skin cells or something like that. Any actual physical evidence which has been left, perhaps from clothes that they had been wearing. Or it may be it's actually to do with a situation of the resonance of their spirit in that particular place.
Tracing their energy.
Yes, and tracing their energy. But it's extremely difficult, and it really does depend upon where the spirit of that child had originated. Some become easier to trace than others, whereas others can be most difficult.
Okay, well, and I actually, it's probably the most difficult thing about all of this is convincing the authorities, just by an aside here. I mean, we probably know where there's six children.
Of varying ages.
Of varying ages, some alive and some dead. So, obviously, the ones that are passed, how do you go about this? You just obviously, if they're in the spirit world, what happens then in tracing them then?
Well, we use the exact same situation. We try to find out their dates through you. Perhaps then we would have an indication of their date of birth, name at birth, and that kind of thing. And then that gives us a starting point. So even though we have not actually found or sought the permission from the parents of that person or from the person themselves, we will try to locate something to do with their energy. Perhaps we will leave notices or whatever saying that we, because it's known that we're a team who will actually try to help others in the spirit world who perhaps have passed before their time due to some sudden fatality, perhaps usually to do with somebody else in this state. So it will be that we're saying that we are available to try to help them if possible. And then sometimes it is that they actually connect with us because they see our energy or they sense our energy.
Okay, and there's obviously other situations where you can go to the parents, and if the child person has passed, then they will be sometime hanging around back with the parents or whatever.
Oh yes, that is quite true too. Yes, absolutely so. So then it means to say that we can perhaps approach them. This is usually on anniversaries or something like that of the person's disappearance. These can be marked in weeks or months.
Yes, I know in the past there's been situations where some of these teenagers usually have
and girls usually.
Girls, yes, it's pretty much always the girls, isn't it? That have problems with actually they want, I don't know, they have problems, psychological problems, not only with the way they passed, if maybe, you know, they were obviously murdered, raped, whatever. That it becomes a problem because it's not that straightforward in them, their parents, finding out where their bodies are and that sort of thing, because there might be some situations around that they don't want their parents to know. And that's a problem too, isn't it?
No, absolutely so, yes. Perhaps conditions of their physicality or something. Perhaps it is that they don't want to hurt their parents in some respect. I know, yes, they're hurt anyway because they've lost them or they're missing. But and obviously, even the most tragic of circumstances, it's actually much better for the parents so than not to. However, for many in the spirit world who actually pass in that kind of distress, they won't necessarily be aware of that or know that, even though there will be many ancestors who will actually come to their aid if they should need it, if they request it. It's still a matter for the individual, however, in every single case. It's a matter for the individual to feel whether they want to bring that about or not.
And of course, there's those the ones that we know about in the spirit world where you've tried to liaise with between them and their ancestry because maybe they are in a very strict religious family group.
Oh yeah.
And they've taken them under their wing when they've gone to the spirit world, and we can't
interfere.
We can't interfere in that way, even though we know where they are and how they passed and.
Yes.
Everything.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It's pretty frustrating, one thing and another. It's not something that we tend to do that much because of the problems with actually...
Yes, religion is something which actually puts up many blocks in that respect.
Mm.
And they will perhaps mistakenly treat us as though we are something from hell rather than... A group who is actually genuinely trying to help them overcome their problem. And then in many regards, there have been many, many souls who would much rather continue to be remain undiscovered for their physical remains rather than actually be able to shed light upon their disappearance. So that we can actually bring some kind of closure to their life.
Mm, yeah, well, unfortunately, it's their free will, but if they can convince themselves that it's God's will that this happens, then, and people like you are the devil or whatever, then you don't stand a chance, really, do you? So basically... But
no, my dear friend, because I never appear with two horns on my head or anything like that, or even one.
But basically, there's...
I just wear my pink outfit or my lime green or whatever it is, and I'm
that's
a very sunny person,
that's
really.
Equally as scary, a lime green suit.
Not really.
I've only got a couple of minutes left.
Oh, very well.
So I would, because we started late. But,
yes, of course.
The... So basically, though, there's the team in the situation. If we can stay on the missing children,
yes.
There's a team. There's a team that works on this, isn't there? That get allocated different tasks when you're doing this sort of thing.
Yes.
So
that we can actually do bring about many simultaneous situations. Perhaps if there is more, for example, if there is actually more than one person physically. Who had been involved in this individual's destruction, shall we say?
Because we also follow the actual, say for instance, if it was a murder, we actually follow the criminal, the actual murderer, don't we? So that we know where they are at all times.
Yes, as well.
If ever
and
the
we,
police
yes, leader. Yes, yes. We put a tag on them as well, so that we actually understand there are many hundreds of beings in the spirit world who actually work to. Help in this respect.
So it's quite a teamwork. Okay, well,
yes, absolutely. So we try to keep it that way.
Well, this has been absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much.
With love and light, and blessed be your pathway, my dear friend. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'd just like to mention our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out lots of information about us and our books. You can book yourself one of those Akashic readings from Gregory, if you like. Just email enq@spirit-teaching.com. And we're back with you again on the wonderful BBS Radio on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific. Until then, my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Thank you.